Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, which keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Congregation, we continue this worship service by Psalter 87, the stanzas 2 and 3. 87, 2 and 3. Not human strength or mighty hosts, not charging steeds or warlike boasts can save from overthrow. But God will save from death and shame all those who fear and trust his name, and they no one shall know. 2 and 3 of 87. Apostolic Creed, the faith of the Church of all ages and all places, with the 12 articles. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Amen.
Now read a selection of praise, Psalm 115, the first three verses. Psalm 115, the first three verses, and then we read in God's holy word the following in the Psalms that speak of God's glory, that speak of his praise. Now we read from Psalm 115, the first three verses. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is no their God? But our God is in the heavens, he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. So far the reading of God's word. Let us now turn to the Lord in prayer. Most holy and glorious God of heaven, a triumph God, that we may approach in this second service hour. Thou who hears thy people when they cry, when they provide everything what is needed for them. Lord, and we depend so much on thee. in everything in life. And that's what we will hear in this morning service, in this second service as well. That there is a maker in heaven and in earth, a God creator, but also a God that sustains the world, but in particular his own people. Lord, and in all things we are so dependent on thee. In our daily life, in our daily tasks and duties, whether that's in a store or in the farm, whether that's in the home or somewhere else, we need all these things from thee, God. And then we pray thee that thou wilt be in our midst also in this second service to proclaim thy word. A important topic about God the Father, maker of heaven and of earth. That's just been set with the 12 articles of that faith of the Church of all ages. That Father that creates, that Father that sustains, that Father that is the Father of thy dear children. Maybe listen with an attentive ear, with a heart that wants to hear more about these matters. Lord, it's not in us. By nature, we don't want to hear thy word. We don't want to listen to thee. And when thou givest life in the heart, then there is a longing to know more about that unknown God. And then thy children, Lord, are taught many different things. One of the things in my Lord is also to know that Father as their Father. Then it becomes so personal in their life. There is a Father in heaven that provides for their daily needs and for their tasks, but also in their spiritual life, that they may receive all things from him. Then the treasures of heaven are opened. Then is there a Father that's so exclusive? There is none like him. There's a Father that provides for all their needs. And then there is a Father that is higher than everything that can be found on earth. Lord, and thou art proclaimed in this service. May it be that we know thee. And if not, Lord, then work it in our hearts. May we be drawn by this to thee, to go on our knees, to beg out for mercy of the triune God. Lord, then we have to confess that we come to thee as sinners, not deserving anything, even the worst, even the opposite. But for thy people, there has been a way opened unto thee. And no one comes to the Father by the Son, and no one will be cast out who turns into the Son in truth. And those that may come with a heart full of need, they will receive grace and blessing. Come then with thy Spirit as well, because we can speak the words. And when the Spirit doesn't apply it, Lord, then it is all in vain. We can hear a nice sermon, something explained from thy word, but it will never go deeper than the head. Will thou remember us in this service? May thy word be proclaimed faithfully, and will thou give us everything that is needed. Forgive our many fault sins. Cleanse us in the blood of thy Son, Jesus Christ. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'll sing on Psaltery 278, the stanzas 1 and 4. 278, stanzas 1 and 4. That we see in our Psalter in relation with our text and in relation with our theme, things about God. So 278, I mean 1 and 3. Thy Spirit, O God, makes life to abound. The earth is renewed and fruitful the ground. To God ascribe glory and wisdom and might. Let God and his creature forever delight. 1 and 3 of 287.
You said 278.
I think it must then be 278. I'm not sure. That's my fault.
278.
Let's sing 278. And stanzas 1 and 4. I think that's the right one. Yeah, that's right. The tender love a father has for all his children dear. Such love the Lord bestows on them. Worship him in fear. Was my mistake. 1 and 4 of 278. Scripture reading will be from Luke 12, the verses 22 through 34, and then we will read in connection with that Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 9. So first, a portion from Scripture, Luke 12, the verses 22 through 34, and then in relation to that, well, we will also preach the second service from our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day number 9. So first, Luke 12, beginning at verse 22. There we read in God's holy and infallible word thus. And he, that is Jesus Christ speaking, said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouses nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And with which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you, that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothes the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye little of faith? And seek not what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after. And your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So far the reading of God's holy word. And let's now turn to the back of our Psalter for Lord's Day number 9. You can find it on page 37 of the Psalter. And then we have now two different questions. One question, only question 26. So previous time it was about the division of the articles. And how was it divided? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And now it's about God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. Lord's Day 9, for Heidelberg Catechism, question 26. What believest thou when thou sayest, I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth, that the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth, with all that in him is, who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence, is for the sake of Christ his Son, my God and my Father, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt but he will provide me with all things necessary for soul and body. And further, that he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. For he is able to do it, being Almighty God, and willing, being a faithful Father. So far, our Heidelberg Catechism and its answer. Dear friends, during the war there were some families that had challenges in their families. There was hunger. What had happened? Well, there was shortage of food. Especially those that have some relations to the Netherlands, they know the Germans took a lot of things away. Families were hungry. And imagine this, that a poor child went to his father and said, Father, I'm hungry, my stomach. Do you have some food? And the father had to say, no, I have not anything. There's nothing in the home. Such a situation was once true also for a God-fearing father. No food at the table and what to do. He knew about that heavenly father. He said to his wife, wife, set the table. And she did. And he asked the children, children, come, let us sit around the table and let's pray. He said, Father, but there is no food. He said, let's pray. And he did. He laid all his needs honestly before the Lord. Simple, but honest. And then he said, Amen. What happened? Knock at the door. When they opened the door, they saw in front of the door a big box. And it contained all kinds of food sufficient to provide for the day. He brought it in the home and they ate that day given food. We see how the Lord provides for his children, congregation. His fatherly care, care that he had food. And even today we will hear about God the Father, the first person of the Trinity. Who is he? And what does he do? How does he care? And that's why the theme for this service is a scriptural view of God the Father. Three different points. First, an exclusive father. Second, a providing father. And third, an excellent father. So a scriptural view of God the Father. A father that's exclusive. There's no other like this. A providing father. A father that gives the needs. And an excellent father that is better than any father in the world. The first point is an exclusive father. What do we read about him in the answer 26? Well, we read the eternal Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who of nothing made heaven and earth with all that in them is. We speak here about the first person of the Trinity, the Father. And there are different ways as Ursinus describes it that he is Father. First, in relation to Jesus Christ as his only begotten Son, the eternal Father of the Son. The second way how Ursinus describes it is in relation to all his creatures. That means he's the creator and preserver of all people. And the third, specifically in relation to the elect, his adopted children. But how can we describe this Father in heaven? Well, one of the things is that he is almighty. It means he has all the power. He's all-knowing. He knows all things. He's unchangeable, always the same. What did his father then do? Well, he made heaven and earth. We read in the first verse of scripture, in the beginning, God created heaven and earth. This is speaking about the Father. And interestingly, this word for creation can only be used for God. When you look in scripture, it's only done by God, by no other human being. It proves that the Father is God. It means he created all things out of nothing. There was no material before. And God spoke simply the words, and suddenly the earth appeared into the universe and came into existence in just one moment. Think about the vastness of the universe. All those stars that we see in the dark air in the night. All those planets that are going around in the universe. The big mountains. All the other things that are on the earth like animals, fishes, birds. And even human beings were created by God. It was the crown, as it were, of his creation. His own image was there. And he gave the humans fruit to eat. The elect are created to eternally glorify God with all his beauty. My congregation, the question to us is, have we seen the power of this God, the Father? Able to create the vast universe. What a mighty yes. Think about that. But it's also more personal in that sense that he created each one of us. No exception. You and I were formed in the womb. So small and so little. If you look how a baby is formed in the womb, it's amazing. With arms and legs that were formed after a couple of months and weeks. The heart that was beating in the first weeks already. And even the fingerprints of each one of us is different. Think about this as well. Each one of us is different, even though we might belong to a certain family. We have our own capabilities and our own limitations, and God has made each one of us. What does it mean that God has created us? Well, God has to claim upon us as well. May he? Yes. But how do we feel about that? Is it an uncomfortable thought? We want to be our own kings by nature. How did it come? Well, we turned our backs to God. We didn't want to see him anymore. How painful for God. His own creature leaving him behind. Stepped on his heart. Ran away, as it were. And wanted to live for himself. But those that are regenerated, they learn something from this. Yes, good created in the sight of God. But now so foolish. Done. Turn away from that good God to my own pleasures. From an almighty God, from an all-knowing God. And then doing my own will. But those that get to know something of this, they begin to seek this God. A God that has created them. But is this all? Is it that God has created heaven and earth and then he just left it to itself? That's what some people would believe. It's like a clock, you wind it up and then it just goes. No. God also preserves, we speak about that. That's what we see further in the answer. Who likewise upholds and governs the same by his eternal counsel and providence. God not only creates, but he does more. He does two things in our answer. He upholds heaven and earth and he governs heaven and earth. What is it to uphold? Well, it's to maintain something, to preserve. That's in the nature around us, but it's also every human being. And I've used that example before, but it's a beautiful example. Maintenance of our devices, of our car. It needs gas. That's regular maintenance. But every 3,000 miles or 7,000 miles, depending on the car, the oil needs to be replaced. You need to do the checks on the tires if they're still okay. What would happen if you won't do it? Well, the car breaks down after a while. Yes, you can buy a perfect car, but if you don't maintain it, it will break down and no longer be used. Well, this is what God does as well. He maintains heaven and earth. But God eternally already thought through all these things. What would happen? How it would happen? And he planned it all out. He knew about it. And he does it in such a way that he receives the honor. And he receives the glory. But how does he then do this? Well, Hebrews 1:3 says he does it through Christ, the Word. He upholds all things by the word of his power, the Bible says. How is this visible? Well, think about the rain that constantly comes down from heaven. We have beautiful days of sun and then days of rain. What will happen if the rain would stop from now on? Yes, it goes well for some time, but then we get lost in our crops. Think about the sunshine. When it would fail from today, we would no longer be able to live. We would die. But even personal. The breath we have in our mouth and the health in our bodies. If God would give it up from today and onward, what would happen? We would pass away. But God not only upholds, as it were, but he also governs. That means he rules heaven and earth. With great wisdom, God doesn't make any mistakes. The same as in our country, you have a government that rules the country. They determine the rules. They determine the punishments. They restrict and they give freedom. Think about this way, about God as well. He rules everything. But God is even more. He rules even the thoughts of men. He rules the will and the actions of people. That means he can change the thoughts. He can allow for sin or limit certain sins. And he directs the world in such a way that he receives honor. Why does he do it? Well, first for his own honor, but in the second place also for the salvation of the elect. If you realize, congregation, that God upholds each one of us. If he would not, then we would directly pass away. Directly at this moment. He gives bread each day, drink, and how often we just take these things for granted, myself as well. But how do you think God feels about it? Yes, he gives it to good and bad people. He still gives. My unconverted friend, it's for conversion. That it might lead you to conversion, to see the goodness of God still. What will that be in a great day? Let's say you have lived for 50 years. You stand before God. He's given you 50 years of food and drink and clothing and whatever you needed. And not even one time you were truly thankful. Is it not just that God says, I don't want to see you anymore? Isn't that right? You never turned to God. Never thanked him for everything he gave. People of the Lord, did it not become a wonder that God still upholds? Yeah, what kind of creature? A sinful one. An ungrateful one. One that deserves hell. But no, he upholds those creatures. Yes, even in spiritual things. Even in times you didn't see through anymore, then God still upheld in these days. It was a crying out to God, God, I need to continue, I cannot. And then God helped. He showed the way, and you could walk in it. A few more steps, yes. Life is a wilderness. But God upheld. And when you look back, can you not say, child of the Lord, that you can say, God upheld me all the way till now. Will he then not also do it the rest of the way till you may arrive? Oh, yes. If it would be the creature, if it would be God's child, he would perish forever. It would go off the way. But God preserved. God brings him back every time again. But now, speaking about maintenance and about upholding creation, it's more in general. It can be all people, in a sense. But how is it more related to God's people? Well, we read in the answer, the eternal Father is for the sake of Christ's Son, my God and my Father. And can everyone say that? Is that true for each one in the world, each one in the church? No. The Bible says very clearly, the wrath of God is upon unbelievers. We're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Outside Jesus Christ, Deuteronomy 4:24 says, the Lord thy God is a consuming fire. Van de Groot, a Dutch theologian, when he writes about this Lord's Day, he says, God from all eternity can never be our God and Father with us sinners. Oh no. He says, his holiness And his righteousness would never allow for this. For God, by his holiness and righteousness, hates the sin and all the workers of iniquity. But for who then is this true? For God's own people, his own children. And then it becomes very personal for me. No, not that he will be my father in future, but that he is my father. And how does it come to pass? Well, that's by adoption, by the means of faith. And one is connected to Jesus Christ, united with Christ. And then he receives all the privileges of a child of the Lord. There are so many of them. And now it is a child. Then the child may come with boldness into the throne. He's no longer a slave. No longer needs that slavish fear. But he may have that childlike trust. Now you say, how is this possible? God, the Father, full of wrath, becoming the Father of human beings. How is that possible? Well, only for the sake of Christ, his Son, the answer says. Only this is the basis or payment for. Only the Father can forgive because of this. And only in this way the relationship can be restored. And now it's a childlike relationship. They may have the law of God in their hearts. And they may have God as their God, as Jeremiah says. I will be their God and they shall be my people. And then in Christ, you read in Jeremiah 31, that he has loved them with an everlasting love. The congregation, with this in mind, this is not the first thing that a child of God learns. Oh no. God doesn't teach all things in one day. No, it begins with whom we have sinned against, then he must consume us. And then we need to have salvation in Jesus Christ, and that's a wonder in itself. All for the sake of Jesus Christ. But when there is taught more than one may believe, God is my Father. Then there is the first whisper, Abba, Father. And with awe and with a fear for misusing his name. But then God hears his child and he says, Ah, my child, I want to hear you come. I want to see you come and hear your voice. And then when the child of God may realize that all the treasures of heaven are his. He's adopted. He belongs to this Father. He is one of his. With all the other treasures, peace with him. No longer a slave. No longer need to fear. But that he may entrust. And then he needs to be taught also that he is loved with an everlasting love. How can that be? And he sings away in that amazement, God, for such a sinner and then adopted by thee. Yes. And those who know Christ and do not know about God as their personal Father, if you're not led further, this is the reality. God is your Father. And wait and for God's time to reveal this. Seek the scriptures. Seek his face. And ask him, Lord, reveal it also unto me. The congregation, one question we need to answer in this second service. Can we honestly say that God is our Father? Only the true believer that is in Christ may say this. But if he is in Christ, what privileges does that child have? Well, that the Father provides, our second point. A providing Father. We see in answer 26, on whom I rely so entirely that I have no doubt. The child of God continues. He does not only belong to the Father, but he may also trust him in all the basic needs. And it's said in two different ways, more a positive way and a negative way. The positive way is, so I rely so entirely. In a negative way, I have no doubt that this will happen. What does it mean to rely entirely on the Father? Well, it means to have confidence, to entrust to this Father. It's the same as the poet of Psalm 55 says, I will trust in thee, Psalm 55:23. And one can say, my God and my Father, and there's love in the heart for Him. And then the believer may say, He's all sufficient in all the needs I have. He's almighty and all faithful. And that for me. How can I then rely upon Him? Well, there can only be when someone has experimental knowledge of Him. It's like an earthly mother. Why would a child trust in his mother? Well, the answer is very simple. He knows his mother. He knows her heart. He knows how she has cared for him in the past or her. And that's why he can trust his mother, because he knows her. And the same is true for God the Father. How does a child of the Lord know this and believe and entrust himself to him? Because he gets to know him. Well, what is related to trust? That there is no doubt. And that's the second thing the Catechism says. It's strongly related to trust. If there is a hearty trust, at that moment there is no doubt in the heart. And practically it means I don't worry about life. And don't worry about what I have to eat and what I have to drink, because God cares. And that's exactly what Christ said already, and related to the passage read. Take no thought to your life, what ye shall eat and what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, food? And the body more than raiment, clothing? And those in their natural state here are listening along. What we just have said only applies to God's true children, not to anyone else. Yes, it is true that God provides. Yes, it is true that God gives food and drink. But it's His general care for all of creation. But you can never say to rely entirely upon Him without doubt. If that's true, then we deceive ourselves. We cannot expect this to be true without conversion. It's the same as if you would have a household and a child from the street comes in and knocks at the door and expects the mother to provide for him. Is that going to happen? Maybe. But it does not have to be. Why? Because he's not one of the own children. He is not one of the adopted children. But if he is adopted into the family, he may trust the mother to care for him. What do you need to do? When you convert a friend, you need to worry about life. You say, worry? Didn't not just hear about not worrying about life? Yeah, wait. You need to worry about eternal future. What is your future going to look like? How's it going to be? That is exactly what Christ also said somewhere else in Matthew 6:22. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto it. That's what you need to do, my friend. Is it maybe you doubt in people? Maybe you feel what the Heidelberg Catechism says is too high for me. I cannot reach that height to fully trust and never doubt. How can this be? I cannot. I have so many doubts in my life. I have worries in my soul, even if I'm a believer or not. Think about Psalm 55. Yes, he said, I will trust in thee. But when did he say that? If you read the previous verses, what he wrote is this. He says, fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Do you see that? Through these difficult circumstances, God taught him to trust in him. Then through God's care, he was brought to that trusting. He waited for God, and God taught him to trust. And if it's from God, dear friend, if that's in your life, then God teaches more and more to trust, and he will remove those doubts, but at his time. But then your question might be, why so many doubts? Well, do you not know that God's people are a two-man? There is the old and the new. Yes, the new man is worked in this way, that he will trust the Lord fully. But there is still the old man that arises from time to time and gives doubts and fears. But that old man will one day be laid in the grave and remain there. And then the new man will remain to trust God fully. But speaking about this relying and this trusting, what is then to trust for? Well, it is the care of God's provision. Answer 26 says, He will provide me. Who is this He? Is that a despot, a slave master? No, that's so distant. But here it speaks about the Father, a rich Father, a merciful Father, a loving Father, and a caring Father. Yes, and He will provide. Not He could provide, yes, He can, but more. Not that maybe He will provide, but the answer says, will. There's some surety here, this answer. What will He do? Yes, He will provide. It means to supply and to care for. With what then? With all things He has promised. Vermeer, another theologian, says, who has God as his Father is sustained by by the promises. He has a rich Father. And all things that belong to him, all things belong to Him. And He has rich promises for spiritual, material matters. And how does this then happen? Now the Bible is very clear. In Psalm 55, the same psalm. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer. Allow the righteous to be moved. Psalm 55:22. What is the need? To cast those burdens upon the Lord. To lay it before Him. To beg the Lord for it. Is it maybe because of any worthiness in me? Oh no. Absolutely not. Luther says about this. He says, He daily provides abundantly. Without any merit or worthiness in me. It's only because of love in His heart. Because of Him. Child of the Lord. With all your doubts, may it then encourage you. The Father will provide. He will never allow you to perish. Oh yes, it's not always visible. And it's not always what you desire Him to give you. But He cares. Why? Because the price was too high. What is often the problem? You don't reckon with His Father. And there's so many worries, and you think you have to solve all these issues yourself. But God wants to hear that prayer. He wants to have the child so close to Himself. It's not often that you wander away. And then God has to bring you back to Himself. May it encourage you to cast your burden upon Him. He cares for you. Only because He loves you with an eternal love. And that's why He never lets you perish. My uncle, brother, friend, what does this text have to say to you? No, we can say that God is your Father. That's not true. But do you not want to have a caring Father? A Father that cares for you in all things, then you don't need to have to worry. And now you have all reason to worry. But His Father still gives. Only because He wants to see conversion. Only because of that He still provides. And let it not be a reason to walk away from Him, but to turn unto Him. But how far does the Father then go with that provision of the child of the Lord? Well, answer 26 says, with all things necessary for body and soul. Do we read with all things necessary for this life? No. It's part of it, but there is much more. Or some would say, it's only related to all things spiritual that the Father cares about. But is that true? They would say it's only that is important, not the temporal things. But the answer says no. What do we read? All things for body and for soul. God cares for both. What does He then give? All things? No. The answer says all things necessary. That means sometimes God withholds things that are not needed. It's the same as an earthly father. If the child asks certain things for his need, he will give it. But when he asks for his checkbook, and with all the checks written out, the father would say, no, you don't need that. I can provide for you. You don't ask too much. So in the same way, there needs to be in prayer. Yes, we may ask the Lord for things. But always to say, thy will be done. But what kind of bodily things do we need to think of? We said already, food and drink, a vehicle, protection. Luther, with this says so very interestingly. He says, he daily provides abundantly for all the needs of my life, protects me from all danger, guards and keeps me from all evil. It means if I see some shortcomings in my life with my daily things, I may ask him. Now, what kind of spiritual things we may think of? Well, think about daily forgiveness of this Father, a love, a joy, a protection from sin and from Satan. Think about all the treasures in heaven that are part of the children of the Lord. An eternal life, the leading of the Holy Spirit. And we know something about this providing Father, but is there more? Yes, he's also an excellent Father, our third point. Answer 26 says, he will make whatever evils he sends upon me in this valley of tears turn out to my advantage. In all his excellency as this Father is, he still gives challenging situations. The answer says, whatever evils. Literally, in the German, it says, all the illnesses that are there. And that's why the Heidelberg Catechism speaks about this valley of tears. Where do they point to? Well, Psalm 84. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it well. And the valley of Baca, you may translate the valley of tears. It means in our text, difficulties, sicknesses, maybe divisions or temptations we might face in life. Think about the sickness of the mother Peter. She was sick, but the Lord Jesus raised her again. Think about the death of the children of Job. 10 of his kids were dying. He was mourning. Think about the temptation of Peter we heard about. He denied Christ 3 times. But did all of these things happen by chance? No, my dear friends. The answer says, he sends that upon me. In the original, you read, he allocates it. He assigns it, as it were. It shows that it is very carefully chosen. It seems to fit. God knows for his children how much they can bear. God is faithful, Paul writes, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. This is the limit. God's children are guarded by God. And think about Job. Satan had to say there's a hedge around him. He couldn't do anything except God allowed him to do it. With God's permission. Why does God give all these things? Even the difficult things, that it might turn out to my advantage. And here we have the language of faith, dear friends. Does it mean that sin is no longer sinful? No, that's not true. Think about the selling of Joseph to Egypt. It was sin of his brothers. But why did God work this out in this way? Because he wanted to save a people in life. It turned out all well. But every people that know about those valleys of tears among us, God's children know. They now often shed so many tears of their weaknesses. Because they've seen the sin in their lives, they sigh under the cedar shortcomings. And Van der Groen, another theologian, says, the believer has the sufferings of Christ in their bodies. They suffer with him. Yes, this is all sinned by the Father. And at times they may believe that this is for their advantages. Those difficulties, you say? Yes. Then they may see the wisdom of God in it, that he keeps them so humble and so low. But then they may also look forward to the one day they may be with him. Now, my unconverted friend, God also gives you difficulties in life. Why? That you may see that there's an end to your life on this earth. That you may seek that eternal treasure forever. Young friends, maybe you think you have a long life, but it will pass away so soon. Seek your eternal advantage. No, it will not take away sickness. It will not take away temptation or scorn. But it will also all be guided and limited. What do you need? To have God as Father. Then you're eternally safe. If you don't know God, then the current father is one that desires death. But this Father in heaven desires life. Seek therefore, dear friends, this Father. What is then the hope of a true Christian? Well, that God is able and willing to provide. You read in answer 26, for he is able to do it, being Almighty God. It shows that a child of God can trust God because God is able. He's powerful and almighty. That means all things are possible for God if he wants to, if it is according to his nature. No, there's things that God cannot do. He cannot kill himself. He cannot sin. He couldn't save Christ from death. It was not according to his will. But all that is according to his will, he will do. He's able to do. And how do we know that God is able and almighty? Well, Jeremiah cries out, "Ah, Lord God, behold, thou hast made heaven and earth by thy great power and stretched out arm. And there's nothing too hard for thee." Jeremiah 32:17. He refers back to creation. If God is able to create, is he not able to do all things else? And now you say, do we have some examples in the Bible? Yes. Think about Sarah. She was 99 years old. Her womb was no longer able to bear children. And what does God do? He gives her a child. Think about Hezekiah. He's in trouble. There's a big army around the city of Jerusalem scorning the Lord, and they want to capture this city. 185,000 soldiers around this city. And even Rabsakeh, the leader, scorns the Lord, blasphemes him. And Hezekiah lays it all before the Lord and he says, Lord, it's thy case. What does the Lord do? Then that night, an angel of the Lord goes around and he kills all these 185,000 soldiers one night. Impossible for us, but possible with God. But those who do not belong to the Lord, is that maybe your question? How can I be saved? Maybe you think you can never because of your sinful heart. May I point you to this God? God is almighty. He is able to do it. He was able to raise Christ from the dead. Do you think God is not able to raise you? Yes. Maybe you say, my heart is like a stone, so indifferent. Is that your case? Oh, that might be true and be sure. But what do you think every child of the Lord was before conversion? He had a heart of stone. What did God do? He replaced the heart with flesh. Yes, he is able. Maybe say, I'm enslaved to certain sins. Maybe alcohol or music or whatever it is. It's impossible to repent from those things. Might be true. And yes, by your own power, it is impossible. But we speak here about God. And God is almighty. He can give faith. He can give repentance. He can give conversion. Pray then the Lord. Lord, I'm this. But I just heard that thou art almighty. Will it do it in my life? What will be the result if that's an honest prayer? He will hear those prayers. Child of the Lord, maybe you see all those mountains of sin in your life. You don't know how they can ever become less and less. Maybe you struggle with so many sins, you fight against them, but you fail every time you lose the battle. Oh yes, this is the reality. Old man gives never up. And he desires to win. But here we're speaking about an almighty God. He's able to forgive. He's able to take away the mount of sin. And he can give the power of the Holy Spirit to fight against sin and to conquer by his power. No, in this life it's not fully done. It won't be always remaining sin, but the end will be sure, then it will be conquered. Why? Because nothing is too hard for the Lord. Maybe now the question is this for you. I believe that God is able to, no doubt about it. But is he willing for me, poor sinner, Yes, dear friend. Answer 26 says, He is willing, being a faithful father. Oh, what a wonder. His father is not only able to, but he's also willing to. If we speak about other gods like Allah, yes, he is able, they would say, but he's not always willing. He's a harsh God. But his father is willing to give to all his children what they are in need of. What does Jesus Christ say? If ye then, being evil, bad in the sense of the word, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask them? If earthly fathers give everything for the children what they need, would then the heavenly Father not give what they really need? Oh yes. And remember, an earthly father is sinful, he has his own shortcomings. We know that. That for God we may expect that he will do it according to his will, that he provide what is infinitely good. How does God's will then look like, you ask? Well, when you read Psalm 103, you see that he pities his children. Isaiah writes about them, he will never forget his children because they are written in the palms of his hand. James 5 says that he has tender mercy upon them. How can that be, you say? Well, the answer says in the Catechism, being a faithful father. What is faithful? Someone that is loyal. Someone that keeps his promises, that keeps covenant and mercy. And that is in all his perfection. There's no lack in him. God would be no God if he was not faithful. Faithfulness is part of his being. It means the child of God will receive everything that they need for life. Why? Because God told it. And he loves to give it. Church of God, do you hear this? Whatever the issue it is, well, how poor you are in self, how much you have to fight, God is willing to give whatever is needed. And it's often not the issue that we don't pray for God to conquer it. That we don't want to pray against ourselves. Why? We don't like that old man to be crucified. We love ourselves too much. But ask God. He can do it. And he's willing to do it. How then? That he may receive the honor and the glory. Congregation, we've heard in this sermon about the first person of the Trinity, the Father. He creates. He preserves. He provides. He's able and willing to do it. But the main question is for us, is it also for me? Yes, he created all of us. He commonly preserves. But do we know him personally as a father? Do we know about that personal care? That's what we need. If you have questions about it, we need to ask, Lord, I need to know this. Will thou tell me? And child of the Lord, remember this. The Lord provide in all circumstances. He will cause you to come home. He cares. He feeds. He gives. Why? Only because of his Son, Jesus Christ. Because he died. That you might have life. And life eternally. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we come before thee in this second service. Then we've heard about the Father, the first person of the Trinity, may be true for us. God, then we come before thee with all our needs and with all our questions. Whoever we are, may this be true in our lives. We ask thee for thy blessing after the service in catechism class and also in returning home. Will thou bring us back next week in all safety? We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And now sing Psalter 344, the stanzas 3 and 4. 344, stanzas 3 and 4. Thy faithful keeper is the Lord, thy shelter and thy shade. Neath sun nor moon, by day or night, thou shalt not be afraid. 3 and 4 of 344. May the grace of Christ the Savior and the Father's boundless love with the Holy Spirit's favor rest upon us from above. Amen. Doxology is 197, both stanzas.
His glory fill. Amen. So.